And as we continue here on the program, let's talk agronomics as we really gear up for spring planting across a wide area of the U.S. here in the month of April. Joining us now, Syngenta agronomist Blake Miller is with us here on the show. Blake, thanks for the time. Hope all is well.
Jesse, really appreciate the opportunity. And it's well so far, sir, so thanks.
Well, I know you cover a wide area in Illinois, and that's going to be one of many areas of the country that, again, is going to start ramping up with planting here in short order. Let's set this up, though. I know a lot of producers are looking at very, very tight margins. They've really been, you know, drilling down with their plan for this year, whether it be, you know, seed or chem or fertilizer, that crop nutrition plan, et cetera, et cetera. So, what are your thoughts? What are some key things that folks need to think about here as we get started with spring planting 2026, Blake?
Yeah, Jesse, the first thing, and I really appreciate how you build a foundation here. I want the farmers to think about that when you're in this environment that you have to preserve every bushel you can, right? So that means starting with a plan, whether we're talking corn or soybeans, and that plan in a lot of cases was developed this winter. But when the margins get tight, there's some reluctance to spend the money. And my strong encouragement would be to deploy that plan, whether that's your seed care on your soybeans. The corn's always been kind of a, you know, check the box thing. We don't think about that too much, but that's important as well as when we plant early. And then it's, you know, making sure that you do deploy that do pass herbicide program where that fits the area of the listener that we're talking to. There's flexibility in it. And then ultimately preserving the last step in preserving that yield, Jesse, is, you know, am I going to use a fungicide application or not at VTR1 in corn or R3 in soybeans? And really thinking through preserving bushels to make this financial dynamic we're in turn out in a favorable way.
I think about 2025, Southern Rust was such a major loss driver in corn up and down the Midwest. You think about on the soybean side, we continue to fight with SDS, sudden death syndrome, soybean cyst nematode on the pest front as well. I guess where I'm going with this, is there anything that we can take away from last year, the year before that? Can we look back at history to help influence any management decisions here early in 2026, Blake?
I think there are, and if you don't mind, Jesse, let's you know, kind of plan on Southern Rust for a second. You know, as an agronomist, we're always engaging in continued education. I listened to several speakers about Southern Rust, and when you think about predictability, right? We all know in most of the area, we could be talking to producers in the South, but in most of the area in the Midwest, it blows in, right? And many of these, whether it's meteorologists, climatologists, or pathologists, all them working together have noted that a couple things have changed. The trend line winds during that time of year where we could affect the crop are moving in a way, they're directionally moving in a way that's blowing more into that traditional corn belt. And then the second thing that's really of note that I want producers to think about is that more of the time we could battle Southern Rust as the acres in the South transition to corn, giving that Southern Rust spore probably coming out of hundreds of miles south of there a green bridge to go through the process and more quickly get to the Midwest. So there are predictive, there's tar spotter and there's rust trackers and there's those things. But I just wanted to give the listeners some nuggets there that there have been some changes that are actually facilitating having Southern Rust episodes more often than we have in the Midwest.
Having a conversation with Syngenta agronomist Blake Miller here today on the show. I think about this, and you mentioned, you know, having a good two-pass program, things of that nature, as we really get into the growing season. I always think about this with my limited agronomic knowledge. I'll let you fill in the blanks here, but starting things clean, staying clean, is super important to maintaining as much yield potential and overall crop health as possible every growing season, isn't it, Blake?
Absolutely, Jesse. And you really touched on that. And I would say for the listeners, anybody battling Palmer amaranth or the water hemp species that's kind of full of resistance, if you will, both of them are in that geography that you do start clean, you know, no survivors. I've got a good sound residual down at no less than a 2/3 of that labeled rate. And within 28 days, I'm layering on another residual so we don't have emergence. Jesse, you just touched it. We do not want these weeds emerging that we're battling with resistance. And then just to make sure the listeners are kind of dialed in, as we do let these weeds emerge, just remember they are eating that, they are consuming rather that high-priced phosphorus fertilizer you bought last fall as a note.
Of course, you know, there's so much that we have to watch out for and take into consideration here. Each and every growing season, every farm is different, every field is different. But you know, by and large, as we wrap up our conversation here today, Blake, I mean, what do you want to reiterate to producers? What do they really need to consider here as they get busy in the field, get into the heart of the growing season, et cetera, et cetera? What do you want them to really keep in perspective here in 2026?
I think the last piece we touched on is probably closest to my heart and mind, is that we start clean. We're using robust herbicides. And obviously the listeners are using everything that's Pendovo and beans for us. It's Storn and Acuron and corn. If you're on a soybean acre that you're managing cyst nematodes, that's the unseen yield robber, right, Jesse, and red crown rot and SDS with something like Victrato. But more importantly, coming back to the nuggets, is deploy that plan you built. It has to be a systems approach from starting clean to preserving yield with the fungicide application, you know, at the reproductive stages of both the main crops, corn and soybeans, that I deal with from that perspective. If they do just those things, I think we're successful, as we can be, knowing the financial headwinds that we're facing.
And I know also, talking with your trusted agronomist or talking with you or your Syngenta agronomy colleagues, et cetera, making sure you have that team and that communication line open throughout the growing season, that's important too, right, Blake?
Absolutely. You know, whether that, as you mentioned, have people on your individual, you know, board of directors that you trust of reference, ask more than one person. You know, make sure that we're making objective decisions and that are grounded in science when we use products on the acre. I think that's very important.
Well, as always, it's going to be a busy season ahead. We appreciate some agronomic insights here on the show today. Syngenta agronomist Blake Miller, thanks so much for the time, sir. And we'll look forward to having you back on again real soon.
Yeah, Jesse, thank you for the opportunity. It's very welcomed.